It is Tuesday, June 25th, and this is Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. Hi, I'm George Prentice in for Gemma Gaudette. Last November, 61% of Idaho voters agreed that Medicaid health insurance needs to be expanded to include all low-income Idaho adults. But this year's edition of the Idaho Legislature had a few things to say about Medicaid expansion. Instead of funding the expansion or repealing it, the legislature took up a series of bills to try to change it. Among the changes, several so-called sideboards. But for that to happen, the legislature has to get federal approval for most of its provisions. The approvals are considered to be, and we use this in quotes, waivers. Yesterday, a public hearing was held in Boise on the matter. Another public hearing is set for Lewiston later this week. And to talk about all of this is Jeremy Gugino of Reclaim Idaho. Jeremy, hi.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, let's set the table here. This is what I think I understand what this waiver is, and it's waiver 1132 is the number?
It's a 1332.
1332. Waiver. Okay. This is how I understand it. It impacts adults who make between 100% and
38%
of the federal poverty level.
Correct.
And the waiver, and we'll get to that in a second, the waiver is that there would be an option to either secure or maintain coverage under the or through the state exchange or through Medicaid. But you struggle with the word waiver even.
Yeah, I think that and maybe just to give a little background here, which you did a little bit in your intro, we are basically in the next phase of a process that started with a legislative session that is designed to chip away at what people are calling the greatest legislative achievement in Idaho in a generation. And I think it's important to remind the people listening that you deserve the credit for that. This is your legislation, and it is being chipped away at as we speak. And so, as you described, this particular restriction is designed to funnel people earning between 100 and 138% of the poverty level, which I know that that's a mouthful, but we're talking about very low-income people, funnel them onto taxpayer-subsidized exchange plans, even though they qualify for Medicaid expansion. And the issues, and there are many, with this particular restriction is it's being advertised as a choice, but we believe at Reclaim Idaho that this is potentially a false choice and worst-case scenario, kind of a bait and switch. So I would say that there are three main concerns with this particular restriction. The first one is, what kind of information are these folks going to get? Are they going to be even told that they do qualify for Medicaid expansion? And if so, are they going to be given essentially a side-by-side comparison of what the taxpayer-subsidized tax credits plans will get you versus what Medicaid expansion will offer? Or do they have to first reject the exchange plan before they can find out about Medicaid expansion? Now, I hope that that's not the case. We certainly hope that they are given a side-by-side comparison, but that's really unclear. There's also the question of, if they do decide to stay with the exchange plan, but if they miss a premium payment or if they miss a payment of some other kind, are they going to lose their health care coverage even though they qualify for Medicaid expansion? These are all questions which do not have clear answers at this point, and that's, you know, the first problem with it. Second problem with it is the Medicaid expansion benefits are far more reliable, far more comprehensive, and much cheaper to the user than the exchange-based plans. I was looking at
which would have high deductibles.
Right, yeah. And so at this income level, the plans that these folks would most likely be able to afford are what are called the bronze plans. They are the cheapest plans. I was looking at some of these plans the other day. The deductibles are over $7,000 for some of these plans, which, you know, for folks who don't know, a deductible, this is the out-of-pocket money that you have to pay before the insurance actually kicks in. And I'll tell you, George, I'm a bankruptcy trustee. I can tell you that people at that income level, $7,000 may as well be $7 million. They just don't have it. And if you are in a high-deductible plan like that that you simply can't afford, it's almost like not having health insurance in the first place.
And high out-of-pockets in addition to high deductible.
And copays, yes.
Yeah.
And so there's a big disparity in the quality and the comprehensiveness of the coverage. And then number three, and this may actually be the fatal flaw in this particular restriction, is the cost. The state of Idaho, they applied for a waiver of some other kind last year. And in their application, they did an assessment of what it would cost to subsidize the exchange plans and to, you know, subsidize people on Medicaid expansion. The cost for the taxpayer-subsidized credits on the exchange came in at about $7,700 per person. That same person would cost only about $3,800 on Medicaid expansion. So it's twice the price. And so in a nutshell, the way that we see this restriction is people are being presented with potentially a false choice for coverage that is much less comprehensive and much less reliable at twice the price.
He's Jeremy Gugino of Reclaim Idaho. We'd love to hear from you on this issue. You can communicate with us via email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. On Twitter, use our hashtag IdahoMatters, or on our Facebook page, and that is Boise State Public Radio. I'm assuming that after last November's vote, a fair amount of Idahoans said, okay, this issue is done. This issue, we've had our say. We've told the legislature what our wish is. But am I getting a sense that you're still fighting for this?
Oh, absolutely.
And including in yesterday's hearing?
Absolutely. About four dozen people showed up on a Monday afternoon in the summer to come and testify against this particular restriction. The testimony against the restriction, it was 4-1, 5-1 against. The only people that testified publicly in favor of it were representatives from the insurance companies. And so what we are seeing, though, is that people do remain energized. And I think that it's important to note, because we are in the middle of a public comment period on this particular restriction. It ends June 30th, and you can submit your comments via email. Earlier, it actually happened during the session, there was a federal judge that struck down work requirement restrictions mm-hmm. in Arkansas and Kentucky. The interesting part about those decisions was the fact that in striking down these laws, the judge noted that the state and the feds essentially ignored all of the public comments that were in opposition to these restrictions. And you can't do that. And the judge basically, through his decision, said that the feds and the state, when you make a public comment on these, by law, they have to consider your comments. And I think that that's a powerful statement. So for those listening who want to make a comment or want to get involved in any way, they have to listen to you. And I think that people are really taking that to heart. And we are finding that they remain energized. They remain in the fight because, like I said, this is the greatest legislative achievement in Idaho in a generation, and the people of Idaho are the ones who did that.
That said, this is not the definitive public hearing. There are a series of waivers that will go up.
That's correct.
Other public hearings later this summer.
That's correct, yeah. So we should make it clear that this particular restriction that is in the public comment period is just the one that we were talking about, mm-hmm. The steering people onto the exchange-based plans. There are going to be a host of other restrictions that will also be subject to public comments, also be subject to public hearings, and those will take place sometime later in the summer.
You have a hearing on Thursday in
Thursday in Lewiston.
And so, again, there will be other hearings to come mm-hmm. this summer. Can we talk just a little bit about your effort? Reclaim Idaho, I think it's fair to say, is now a model of how to get something on the ballot and how to get something passed statewide. And we are seeing other initiatives possibly on ballots, statewide ballots, either this year or next year. Can I assume that some folks are calling you or your colleagues and asking for some advice? Because you had close to 2,000 volunteers?
That's correct. And we continue to grow all over the state. And yes, Luke Mayville, who is one of the co-founders, and Rebecca Schroeder, who is the executive director. Oh, sure. They talk with all kinds of organizations about this particular process and how Reclaim Idaho did it. I think that, you know, what I like to think of as the model, or what you said is the model, is the community that has grown within this organization. This is a nonpartisan, volunteer-generated organization that is addressing an issue, in this particular case, Medicaid expansion, that was really a crisis issue here in this state. 6 years went by and the legislature could not fix the health care problem in this state. And a lot of people of all political ideologies, of all parties, of all affiliations got together and decided to take matters into their own hands. And I think that there's something very powerful about volunteers getting together on common ground on such a popular issue. And I think that, you know, if this is a model, I really do hope that that is at the heart of what other people try to replicate.
And just to put a button on this, after these hearings, it goes back to the legislature, which still has to find a way to fund this.
Right. And they are – there actually is a committee that is – or an interim committee that's going to be meeting throughout the summer and into the fall that is discussing that. They had their first meeting, I want to say last Monday, talking about that issue. Right now, the first phase of Medicaid expansion is being paid for largely through the Millennium Fund, mm-hmm. which, for those who don't know, that the Millennium Fund is the fund that gets the tobacco settlement payments every year, mm-hmm. and they just decide how to spend it.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. You've got your work cut out for you.
We do. We do. But I think that we're up for the challenge. And like I said, I mean, the people of Idaho, when you break it down to an issue that affects families and communities in a way that healthcare does, it's really easy. And you find out really, really quickly that you can cut across ideology. You can cut across party affiliation. Because, you know, these are, you know, essential kitchen table issues that affect every single one of us. And I think that, you know, the power of this movement really lies, you know, in the communities and the towns and the cities throughout Idaho, the people who wanted to band together and, you know, take matters into their own hands. And I'll say it again, Idaho voters are responsible for the state's greatest legislative achievement in a generation. And I don't think that we can say that too many times.
That's Jeremy Gugino of Reclaim Idaho. Best of luck to you.
We'll talk to you
down the trail. You're listening to Idaho Matters. This is Boise State Public Radio News.